Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Hey, let's never get used to this.
Yeah.
Sunday number four. At some point, the newness will wear off. At some point, this will just be home. But let's bottle the appreciation we have.
Yeah, that's right.
So when it does become home, we're still overawed at the goodness of our God to lead us to this point. Can we praise God for the miracle that we're standing in? Come on, let's not just clap. Let's praise Him for who He is, for His leading, for His guiding. And just before we're seated, I reckon we need to give a huge, I'm sure you've had hundreds of shout outs, obviously to Pastor Craig and Nards, and who are on a well-earned break, and the staff team, but you know, the technical people. Yeah. Let's talk about the fact that no one ever remembers the technical people until something goes wrong. Like, when was the last time when worship was going phenomenal, the sound was awesome, the lyric came up by the right, when was the last time you just turned to the back there and thought, man, thank God for those guys.
Yeah.
One wrong lyric, one spike in sound, we're all like. But guys, you aren't just on the tools. You are creating an atmosphere for people to encounter God. And only heaven will tell the full story of what is released through your gifting. Can we give these guys a huge, huge hand? In fact, let's honor every volunteer who currently is working. Let's honor our kids workers who are out there looking after our little blessings. Well, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your faithfulness in the past. We thank you for your faithfulness today. But God, we declare you're faithful to generations to come. So God, we look forward in anticipation of what you are going to do. We pray for Pastor Craig and Nards that you would refresh them. You would speak into them. You would deposit into them as they are taking a well-earned break. And God, I pray for this campus that you would fill every one of us with vision of who we can bring, who we can influence, what seeds we can sow to see someone encounter the love of Jesus. Use us as a family to see your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, give someone a handshake, a hug, a high five, little kiss on the cheek. Andreas, little kiss on the cheek. Can we thank our worship team? Come on, they are awesome. Amanda and I have been married for 25 years, next month actually, and it's felt like about 3 years for me, it's felt like about 65 years for her. But we've been married 25 years, and I remember when we bought our first dining room table. We were living in America at the time, and I went to IKEA, and IKEA is of the devil. If you read the Amplified version, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, and create flat packs. That's the Amplified version, just in case you're wondering. So I open up the dining room table. There is literally four legs, this little claw thing, and a platform, and a 50-page manual. Like, who needs 50 pages for five pieces? Scrap the manual. I'm in this thing. I'm going for it. So I put the legs together and I build the whole thing and get like towards the end piece where I couldn't work out how to put the actual table piece onto the legs. I'm like, I probably should check out the instructions, go back to page two, and there's this little claw thing that you're supposed to attach in the middle of the legs with the dining room table sat on top of. And if you think I am going back 48 pages just for a claw thing, not happening. So we precariously balance this thing on the top of these legs. Anyone that came over for dinner, we're like, don't lean too hard. Could go real bad for you. Don't lean too hard. And then we had kids, and I'm like, well, now I've got to unscrew the thing and put the little claw thing in, because it's one thing for one of my guests to have all of their dinner over them, but I'm not going to have one of my children have the whole thing on top. So I pull the whole thing down, rebuild the thing again. But anyone wish life came with an instruction manual? Come on, you ever wish marriage came with an instruction manual? Ever wish your finances? Ever wish friendship? Come on, how many know friendship can be complicated? Ever with church life? we're in this thing and we're family, but we see each other. Come on, feel like the only alcoholic confessing at an AA meeting right now. This is real vulnerable, team. Anyone wish kids came with an instruction manual? Come on. Do these 10 things, they'll turn out all right. No one tells you what to do. No one. You know, life started 32 years ago. 10 years ago, Pastor Craig and Nadia turned up here. And I think it's 10 years next month, they turned up here. And thank God, you know what this whole thing started on? You know what page one of the manual was? It started with God. Started with a word from heaven, started with a nudge from the Holy Spirit. May have been initiated with a tough question from a senior pastor, but it started with a nudge from God. 32 years ago, you wind the clock back when life started. You know what it started with? It started with God. Yeah. Started with a nudge from a all-knowing father to a very naive couple who were living in Australia with three kids under five. I often get that wrong, go five kids under three. That's a miracle. But they had three kids under five and they moved to New Zealand. And, you know, life may look a little bit different today. It started with Pastor Paul De Jong on a guitar in the teacher's training college in Auckland. Life may look a little bit different. You know, Melbourne didn't look like this 10 years ago when Pastor Craig and Nadia came over. There wasn't as many cool people. I mean, there were some people that were here, like Adrian was here, but there wasn't as many. Like, the coolness factor has gone way up since they started. You know what? It's been a few years and things look a little bit different, but it all comes back to the same start. Start with God. And you know, when it comes to an instruction manual for every area of life, I reckon that's a great start point. To start with God. You know, Proverbs chapter 1 says this. These are the wise sayings of Solomon. David's son, Israel's king, written down so we'll know how to live well and right. Anyone want to live well and right? To understand what life means and where it's going, if we ever needed to understand where life was going in the time in history, it would be this time in history. A manual for living, for learning what is just, right, and fair. To teach the inexperienced the ropes. You know, life has this amazing ability to make you feel inexperienced every couple of months. Like, I remember getting my life right with Jesus probably for the 15th time when I was 18, but this time it stuck. Like, this was the, come on, anyone got any serial altar call responders here? I was a serial altar call responder and it stuck. You know what? If you need to respond to altar calls, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, you go ahead and you respond to that altar call because that is the Holy Spirit drawing. But I've been walking with Jesus now for a few years, like 30 years. And, it's like every 12 months I feel inexperienced again. Because just when you figure like, man, I got this thing down pat, the Holy Spirit throws something else at you. Would you serve at church? Man, I feel inexperienced. Hey, would you start a group? I've never done that before. Would you give 10%? Would you move into a building? I guarantee you, every team on this morning at some level feels inexperienced again. Because we're four Sundays into this brand new thing. Like, then you think about, like, I remember when Amanda and I first got married, after about 3 or 4 years, I felt like, man, I'm getting this thing down pat. I know how to be a good husband. And then, throw a kid in the mix, inexperienced. Start to figure out how to parent and do that whole thing and throw a second kid in the mix, really inexperienced. Life has a way of making you feel inexperienced. I'm now 47, I turned 48 2 weeks ago. I'm 48 now. And we've just built a minor dwelling on the front of our house for Amanda's, my in-laws, to live on my property. In 25 years of marriage, we've never lived in the same city as parents. Now they're going to be right at my front door, inexperienced. Lord, help me. Give me grace and mercy. There's really inexperienced. Life has this way of making. So if you've been doing life a little while, can I tell you, the Bible's still got stuff for you because there is a level of inexperience. If we're moving forward with God, there is always new seasons. Learning what's right and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes, to give our young people a grasp on reality. If you are under 25, would you look at me right now? Don't look to the world for a grasp on reality. Look to the Word of God for a grasp on reality. It is sure, it is true, it is steadfast. It is a rock that you can build your life on. There's something here also for the seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experience to learn, fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. Here it is. Start with God. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom and learning. Have you ever felt like to be successful in one area of life, I feel like a failure in the other area of life? Come on, for me to do really well at work, then it feels like I'm cheating home. For me to have a focus on my personal world or my personal health, I have to cheat somewhere else. And sometimes life can feel like whack-a-mole. You ever played that whack-a-mole thing where one pops up, you get that, and there's another one pop up, and you get that, and then another one pop up, and you're just whack-a-mole, or it feels like a seesaw. Man, one area is going well. Man, I'm nailing this thing, only to go home to have your wife tell you you're not home enough. I'm not nailing this thing. And life does this seesaw thing. Do you know that if we start with God in every area of life, it helps us get off the seesaw and live this balanced life that God has for us, because He wants you. The Apostle Paul said that it is my prayer that you would flourish in every good work. Do you know that your relational world is a good work? Your health is a good work? Your finances is a good work? Your serving at church is a good work? Your career is a good work? God wants you to survive and to thrive and to move forward in every good work in life. But if we are left to ourselves, I don't know about you, I'm a one-track pony. I know how to do one thing really well, so I'll focus on one thing only to realize, oh my gosh, I've lifted the level on that and now this level is down. But if I start with God in every single area, He has the ability to come in and see everything lift at the same time. Jesus put it this way: seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know about you, but I find myself from time to time seeking all these things instead of seeking Him first. And it says, if I seek Him first, then all these things will fall into line. You know, the Bible speaks of a guy by the name of Solomon. In fact, he was referred to in the scripture that we read. And God came to Solomon and said, you can either have wisdom, riches, or influence. I wonder today if the Holy Spirit came to us in our generation and said, you can have wisdom, you can have riches, or you can have influence. I wonder what we as a generation, I wonder what me as an individual would choose. Look, if I get influence, if I could just have 100,000 followers, man, what that could generate. If I could just have a big fat bank account, it would solve all of my problems. But the Bible says, Solomon says, God, you've offered me those three, I'll take wisdom. Because the book of Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. We've got a generation who is full of knowledge because there is information coming out our ears. You want to know about something, you can research it for 5 minutes and become an expert. Personal beef, YouTube's not researching, so get off YouTube. Right? It's some little dude in his basement. Anyway, that's a hobby. Forget that. But Solomon says, I'll take wisdom. And then the Bible says, there was no one richer than him and no one that had more influence than him at that point. It's amazing when we seek God first, what gets added to our life. I wonder what area of our life God is just waiting for us to invite Him in to start with Him. We don't have to have the 47 pages of the manual. Just start with Him and see what God does. Mark Sayers, who is a podcaster, I think he's here from Melbourne actually, he says this thought about this passage. We can so easily get caught up of wanting the king over. Sorry, we can so easily get caught up wanting the kingdom without the king. Do you know that God first prioritizes His kingdom over our kingdom? And if we put His kingdom first, then all these things will be added. So how do I start with God? I'm glad you asked. Like, what does it look like to start with God? When it says start with God, that sounds like a great Sunday morning message, Todd, but how do I pray? When I wake up tomorrow morning, how do I start with God? I think the answer to the question is found in the question. To figuratively start with God, we have to literally start with God. Every day, start with God. Every day. That's point number one. Every day, start with God. When a new day begins, what would it look like if I started the day spending some time with Him? Because every day we are spending our time like we spend money. What are we spending our time on? Are we spending it on something that will just be burnt up in an instant? Or are we spending it on something that will be like a seed that will generate fruit throughout that day? Every day, start with God. We are shaped by what we start with. We are shaped by. You know, if I start my day with, in New Zealand, the New Zealand Herald, which is the local online newspaper, if I start my day with that, I'll be a schizophrenic. You ever notice that the media is, here's our New Zealand Herald. The biggest headline at the beginning of the year was wettest season in decades. We've had our full rainfall by July. I looked at the Herald this morning. It says El Nino coming, reserve water. There's a drought happening in don't use water. I'm like, you can't have both. Like, which one is it? Are we drowning here or are we frying here? Well, like, come on, pick it. Or if I start my day with social media, I'm going to get real quiet. Come on, start my day with social media. I know that I've got this crazy week. I've got to deal with a bunch of stuff. And my friend posts, he's in flippin' Bali. Like, God bless you, man. That's awesome. Hope a cyclone comes in and you get stuck in your bungalow. If I start my day with social media, I start with comparison. But what would it look like if I started every day with God? I'm a better version of myself if I start every day anchoring in God. What's your plan for this day? Well, how do you see what I'm facing today? How do you see what I'm about to go through today? Amanda and I are on this journey, and we have put this little catchphrase together. We're going to parent our phone. Ooh, we're going to get real quiet. Like, I'll tell you when to go to bed. I'll tell you when you can wake up. I'll tell you when you need attention. Because how many know an unparented phone is like an unparented child? It'll keep you up all night. It'll wake you up early. It'll tell you it needs food every 5 minutes. Feed me. Give me attention. So here's what we did. Now, next time I'm here, you can ask me, because we don't have this down pat. We are not perfect of this by any stretch of the imagination. We went out and bought old school alarm clocks. You know the old school ones? Like, oh, well, how many people remember what an old school alarm clock is? Okay, for those of you who don't have your phone up, just go down to like JB Hi-Fi. There's these little boxes that have just the time and an annoying as heck noise that comes out. Like, you're not waking up to shout to the Lord. You are waking up to a, what the heck? But we went and bought these old school alarm clocks. We put our chargers in the kitchen. Yeah, but what if someone needs to get a hold of me? Look, chump, you're not that important. Like, in the last 4 years, how many people have tried to get a hold of you at 2 a.m. in the morning? So we're batting at like 60% at the moment. I'll be really honest. We're batting at like 60% at the moment. I had a heap of them. I found one of my old school Bibles. You know the ones with paper? You know the ones that you have to like flick through? You know the ones where someone says, turn to the book of Genesis? You're like, where's Genesis at? Like, it's not on my iPhone. I don't know. Like, those of you who are new to church, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. That's all you need to figure out. If you reach the book of maps, you've gone too far. Go back a little bit. And here's my goal. Every morning I wake up and I don't reach for my phone, which I have done for years. And the intention was I would just reach for my phone and open up the YouTube Bible app. I'm not that disciplined. Look, I'm going to reach for my phone for the YouTube Bible app. Oh, my friend Josh has texted me from America. What's he saying? Oh, he's on holidays and he said, look at this. I'm like, no. And by the time I've run out of time, haven't read the YouTube Bible app, get out of bed, and I didn't start my day with him. Started my day with him. What would it look like if we started our day with him? Like, God, what are your thoughts about today. G.K. Chesterton says this, the riddles of God are more satisfying than the solutions of man. I reckon God's got a word for whatever it is that you're facing, but he's just waiting for someone to start with him. Start with him. Listen, church. Worship is a action that sometimes produces feelings, not a feeling that sometimes produces an action. Did you hear me? Worship is an action. I am choosing to worship. Yeah, but I'm going through all sorts of stuff. Yeah, but I can stand up in the morning and say, God, you are sovereign. God, you are good. God, you are bigger than it. God, you have an answer. God, I worship you. God, you are the answer to fear. You didn't give me a spirit. Yeah, but I feel fearful. Yeah, but worship is a decision that produces a feeling sometimes. Not, oh, I feel like, well, who wouldn't feel like worshiping at Sim Street? Look how cool your foyer is. You got like bricks and stuff there. All I got in Central is some dirty old jibboard. That's all we got. You walk in here, you're like, man, I'm not creative. I feel creative walking into that foyer. Of course you want to feel like, but what happens on Wednesday? When you have a shocker of a Monday? The school called you Tuesday to come pick your kid up because he bit someone? Doesn't happen in Melbourne, only in New Zealand. Wednesday, I don't feel like, but I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to start my day with him and invite him into what would it look like if we started our day with God? So every day, start with God. Secondly, every decision, start with God. Where do I live? Start with God. Who do I marry? Where's my man? Start with God. How do I steward my finances? Start with God. Do I keep back in the Melbourne Storm or do I go back to Warriors? Too soon? Too soon? Come on back, team. Come on back. Come on, every decision, start with it. We should think, what does God think about this first, not last? We should start with God, not end with God. You know, in New Zealand, I'm sure it's not like this in Melbourne, but in New Zealand, there's this phenomena of people moving from New Zealand to Australia. Like, you had a word from the Lord, so this is not for you. Just block your ears for this part. This is not for you. In the last, I reckon, 12 weeks, I've had 8 conversations of people who have said, I'm moving to Australia. Now, most of the time, it's, where are you moving to? Brisbane. Oh, cool. Why are you moving there? Houses are cheaper. Okay, cool. Why else? Petrol's way cheaper. Okay. Why else? Doesn't rain as much. Okay, so let me get this straight. You're uprooting yourself from friends, family, and support network, not because God nudged you, but because you can buy a cheaper house? Well, I hope the house price is cheap enough for you to get a bunch of counseling for your kids because you've just taken them out of church and put them in an environment where they're not locked in. You're doing it for petrol? $6.37 a week you're going to save. Like, do the math. And for weather? Buy a freaking umbrella. Let me be really honest. If it was based on those 3 things, I'd be the first on the plane. I'd be out of there. But what happens if we start with God? Hey, God, there's a heap of this stuff going. Now, God cares about your house. God cares about your bank account. And God cares that your soul is happy. I'm not saying God doesn't care. But those things can't be the driver of a decision. The driver of a decision is, God, where have you called me to be so that I can plant in your house and flourish in the courts of our God? It can't be driven by a house, petrol, and weather. What if we were to start with God? How many of my decisions reflect me following God versus God following me? How many of my decisions reflect me following God? God, what is it that you want in this moment? God, what is it you want in this decision? Let me follow you. In Matthew chapter 16, sorry, John chapter 16, Jesus said, I'm going, but don't worry about it. I know I've been here 3 years, and every question you've had, you've just asked me, and every moment you've had a challenge, you've just asked me. Don't worry about that. I'm going, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take you by the hand. Sounds like religion. Sounds like relationship to me, not religion. He will take you by the hand and he will lead you into all that the Father has. And Jesus said, he will glorify me by taking what is mine and giving it to you. And Jesus then goes on to say, and everything the Father has, he's given me access to. Do you know you have access to all of who God is through the person of the Holy Spirit? If we would just start with Holy Spirit, what is it? Because he said, the Bible says that he will take us by the hand. Holy Spirit's not that tall. Take you by the hand. But here's what a lot of Christian walk look like. Holy Spirit, we're going this way. I'm going to make this decision, bless it. I'm going to go here, bless it. I'm not going to tithe, bless it. I'm going to get involved with this deconstruction stuff, and would you bless it? Too soon? And I think for some of us, literally all we need to do is to get the order right and say, Holy Spirit, you lead me. You take me into the future. God, I've got this decision to make at work at the moment. They've offered me a promotion. If I move somewhere, what do you think about it? I haven't asked Annalise if I can use this illustration, and she's like one of my kids, so I owe you $5. My kids, I have this deal with my kids. If I tell an illustration in church about them and haven't asked them previously, then I owe them $5. So most Sundays, my 13-year-old son goes, you owe me $5, and you did it in the 9 and the 11, you owe me 10. Who told you? Annalise, late last year, said, I feel a prompt to move to Melbourne. My first question to her was, what does God say? She's like, man, I feel this Holy Spirit nudge to move. Now, Annalise's dad is my best mate, and Annalise was the best PA I ever had. I've got a lot at stake here. Right? I'm going to try and talk you out of it, but okay, what does God say? She came back. She's like, I've got a word and a peace from God. And I came here and I see her flourishing. And it's so obvious that God had prompted that. Listen, there are other friends of mine who have uprooted, moved countries, and their life is a disaster because they were chasing opportunity, chasing something else. Now, God wants you to flourish in every area, but don't do it out of self thinking that, Holy Spirit, bless me. I've got this opportunity. Holy Spirit, what do you think? Come on, if we are facing something, whatever you are facing, whether it's a parenting thing, a relational thing, an internal thing, what is God say? Let's start with God in every decision. Number three, every disagreement. Every disagreement. You mean God wants a voice into my disagreements? Yeah. Because here's the deal. We can do things in a disagreement that could be avoided if we started with God. Jump on social media, shoot off a little message, unfollow someone. That'll teach him. Really? And with the cooling of emotion can come the heating of regret if we don't start with God. Anyone been married for more than a year? Give me a wave. Anyone had a disagreement? Adrian, put your hand down, mate. She should stand up right now. Come on, anyone had a disagreement with a friend? Give me a wave. What would happen if, look back over your life at the disagreements you've had and ask yourself this question. Would it be different if I started with God? Proverbs chapter 19 verse 11 says this, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it's to his glory to overlook a transgression. Do you know that we are the only created being that can overlook a transgression? Because we are created in the image of God. What is Jesus coming to earth and dying on a cross? It's God creating a way to overlook our transgressions towards him. You and I are the only created being. I'll prove it to you. Is there a zoo in Melbourne? Yeah. Go to the Melbourne Zoo, slap a tiger in the mouth, see what happens. What you're not going to get is, I'm going to turn the other cheek. There is nothing else in all of creation that can overlook a disagreement. And the Bible says we glorify Him when we start with Him and we overlook a disagreement. Look, life happens, challenges happen. Christianity is not a bed of roses, in case you haven't noticed it. We are not on a cruise ship, we're on a battlefield ship. We are moving the kingdom forward. We are advancing His kingdom. If you are in business, you are advancing His kingdom. If you are in ministry, you are advancing His kingdom. If you are a mom trying to raise God-honoring kids, you are advancing His kingdom. If you're a teacher bringing your faith, you're advancing His kingdom. There's gonna be stuff. What would it look like if next time there was a challenge, say, God, what do you want to do in this moment? Because you want to strengthen relationship, not challenge relationship. Now listen, you cannot control someone else's response, but I can control my own. God, I'm going to start with you in this moment. So every day, every decision, every disagreement, and lastly, every difficulty, start with God. When difficult times come, if I don't start with God, what are you doing in this? I will end up asking questions like, God, where are you? Pastor Paul has just been through a big journey that, praise God for his current medical report. But I remember 2 years ago when we started this journey, he stood up with our eldership team and our board, and it was in my home, and he said, team, as devastating as this is, we are going to find out what God wants to do through this, and we're getting on board with that. And we have for 2 years believed for a miracle. We have for 2 years ridden the highs and the lows. As a church, for 2 years, we've been standing shoulder to shoulder, and there's been some great moments and there's been some horrific moments. And if we hadn't have started with God, we would have ended up with, God, this is so unfair and this shouldn't have happened. And you know what? All that is right. It is unfair and it shouldn't have happened. But what God has done through this process can only be one thing: glory to His name, lifting up the name of Jesus. And God wants to use your difficulties to lift up the name of Jesus. Call out to God. Seek God in times of difficulties. Danny picked me up this morning. We're driving here. He's telling me some of the stories of this build. Hey, you want to feel better about some of the challenges you're facing? Ask him about some of the challenges of coming into here. It's often good for the soul just to find someone who's faced real tough times. So you're like, oh yeah, mine sucks, but his was worse. But you know what I loved? I owe you $5 too. We were driving, he said he was driving down this road and he got a phone call one night at 10 o'clock at night that brought him to his knees, tears. Like, God, we're so close, we've seen so much, and now this? And then he got a word from God. There's a ram in the thicket. God has an... You know what got him through that moment? It was not finding a man-made solution. It was not Dr. Phil and some self-help stuff. It was starting with God. And I'm just here, 4 weeks into the miracle of Sim Street, to remind us, mate, God got us here. Let's never move on from starting with God. Every day, let's start with Him. Every decision, let's start with Him. Every disagreement, let's start with Him. And every difficulty, let's start with Him and say, God, I'm going to use you as the start point. Then we'll go from there. Would you stand to your feet all over this auditorium? I've asked the team to lead us in worship. There is a song that says, nothing else. Jesus says, nothing else I want in this moment but you. I know that I need a miracle. I know that I need a breakthrough. Some of that breakthrough may be financial. Some of it may be a healing. Some of it may be a wayward child coming home. Some of it may be breakthrough in the area of my future, my internal world. God, I want a breakthrough in my work. Whatever it is, you may need a breakthrough. But why don't we take a moment right now to start with Him? Jesus, there is nothing else in this moment than You. You can have wisdom, you can have riches, and you can have influence. What do you want? I want You. I want Your wisdom. I want Your presence. I want Your leading. So if you're comfortable all over this building, would you lift your hands to heaven? Say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Would You speak to me? Would You meet me in this moment? As I make a commitment to start every day with You, Holy Spirit, remind me. As I look at this decision in front of me, God, I need You in this moment. As I walk through a disagreement, Holy Spirit, would You take me by the hand as I face this difficult circumstance? God, I need You. Come on, let's worship together. Create a moment where we say, here I am. Would You speak to me?
We trust that you were encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.